going to dive a little deeper into the soil. John Eisenhower has a saying, as go the roots, so go the shoots. And that applies to all things planted, not just trees.
That's the truth. That's the truth. So we're going to be talking about soil. And, you know, this is so important, soil. Because, you know, if you're going to have a healthy garden and you don't want to spend a lot of time dealing with problems that come up in the garden, then focus on some building some healthy soil. Because the healthier the soil, the healthier your plants be. And the more you'll get out of it and the less you'll actually have to work and deal with problems in the garden. All right. So,
And Greg's got it broken down to five components here. Of soil building.
Well, this is what makes healthy soil.
Okay.
Okay, the first thing that we need is some dirt.
We have that.
We got dirt, yeah. We got
if you
dirt.
Have a home, you have dirt.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
That's the mineral content of soil. And, yeah, if you've got a home, you've got some dirt. The next thing that we need is organic matter. These are things that were once alive and now are dead and are starting to break down. And we don't have a lot of that in our Arizona dirt because we don't have a lot of trees that drop leaves, leaving leaf litter that breaks down. We just don't have a lot of plants that drop their leaves and create organic matter in the soil. So we have to add organic matter.
A lot of evergreens in the desert, even though it might not be the type of green you think of when you think of forest or green, but...
Right. Right. So we do have some trees, and those are good, but...
And the ones we do, the mesquites, the palo verdes, when they do their leaf drop or their flower drops, they're mm-hmm. also tiny. They just blow away. They're not these big mulberry or maple-type leaves that will build up. Those little tiny, tiny petals just kind of blow away.
That's right, yeah. They just disintegrate, I guess. Okay, so we've got the dirt. We've got organic matter. We need some water in healthy soil, and we need some air spaces in healthy soil. You know, when I first was learning about soil, I didn't think about air. You got to have air in soil. So, you know, when you've got earthworms crawling through soil, they're creating tunnels that let air down into the soil. And roots need some oxygen. You know, when roots grow and then the plant dies and the roots decay, that also creates channels and tunnels in the soil as bugs and animals crawl through. So healthy soil, it needs to have air. It can't be so compact and tight like cement that plant roots can't grow.
And I know Greg doesn't pull weeds anymore for that. He will just cut the weed, use that weed as part of composting or feed to his chickens so that the roots and the soil from the weed do that, you know, decay and create those air pockets.
Right.
I tried to adapt that. I will tell you, if you were going to do that, it's not a good practice if you're on a larger lot than a third of an acre.
It takes a lot of effort and work, for sure, to
do
that.
That works in small spaces. That doesn't work on large spaces.
Right. So we've got dirt, we've got organic matter, we have soil and water, and then the final component is probably the most important component, and those are all the living things in the soil. Some of them we can see, like earthworms and ants and different types of bugs, and some of them are completely invisible. These are soil microbes, bacteria, some fungi, some are visible, some are invisible. And actually, these are probably the most important component because they're kind of the middlemen of a garden. So when you go out and you take your organic fertilizer and you put it on the garden, the plants can't actually use that fertilizer as it is. They need those soil microbes to break it down for them first. And then the plants can actually use the nutrients in the fertilizer. So if you don't have bacteria and fungi and all the other microorganisms, your plants can't eat, right? So we want to definitely promote a lot of life in our soils. And we do that by adding the water and the organic matter that attracts them. Okay, so when you add organic matter like leaves or compost or anything that was once alive, those microbes attack it. They eat it. They break it down. And then the plants can use what's left over as nutrient.
And I've never heard it put that way. The microorganisms.
Yep, they're the middlemen.
Okay. And that's interesting on fertilizer. Do you have a preference between granular or liquid, or it doesn't matter? The microorganisms need to break it down either way?
Either way, they will break it down. Now, you can do a foliar spray with some liquids where you spray it right on the leaves and the plants will uptake it. But that's just certain kinds of fertilizers that you can do that with. But if you're using a granular or a liquid and putting it on the soil, the microbes will break it down either way. Now, I prefer an organic source of fertilizer because it is gentler on the microbes. They like it better, and they will make better use of it than a chemical fertilizer. But either way, they will break the nutrients down into forms that the plants can uptake.
Interesting. And when you're talking about organics, how often are you applying these fertilizers? Everything's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Each plant's a little different. But there's an old way we used to always follow citrus, for example, on our edibles, is, you know, 3 times a year. And a lot of people are, you know, fertilize more often, but do a lot less than we used to do on those three times of the year where we would apply a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as a beginning gardener, I would just follow the old school rules.
Start
slow. Don't over-fertilize because you can do damage by putting more. Follow the directions on the package for starters. And then, you know, call your master gardeners and ask them, hey, I've got an apple tree. What should I do to, how should I fertilize that apple tree? And, but basically, yeah, for trees, we do 3 times in the spring. Memorial Day. What is it? Memorial Day, Valentine's Day, and Easter?
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Well, you can fertilize on Labor Day as well in the fall, but I wouldn't do that with citrus necessarily. But for your stone fruits, yeah, you could fertilize in the fall as well if you wanted to. But, you know, there's just so many ways of doing things, and every gardener is going to tell you something different. So I would go out and start small and practice and experiment. If you make a mistake, that's okay, because we all do when we're learning to grow. And just see what works for you on your property. And, you know, there are some really easy strategies that you can start with, like composting. Composting is a great way to build organic matter right on your property for your garden. It's cheap, it's easy, and you can do it really quite easily just with scraps from your kitchen and maybe shredding your junk mail. Have you ever tried a lasagna garden, Romy?
No, ma'am.
Now, that's not growing things that you would put into a lasagna, like tomatoes and and basil and things like that. Lasagna gardening is a technique of composting in place. So let's say you have
So instead of having to have this composting bin where you then have to move it again to your garden, you just compost in place.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could build a small raised bed garden. Okay, and then just start throwing your garden scraps in there. Start throwing your kitchen scraps from your salads in there. Shred some paper, throw it in there, mix it up, keep it about as moist as a wrung out sponge, and you can create compost right in the place where you're going to grow the food.
How long does that take to build up that soil enough to be able to then start with our seeds or our starter plants?
Okay, it depends. It depends. How much garden and yard waste, how much junk mail are you throwing in there? Because you have to build up some mass, right? Secondly, how often are you going out there and making sure that it's as moist as a wrung out sponge? Because if it dries out, it's going to stop decomposing. It's going to stop breaking down. It's going to stop composting, right? So if you go out and you get it wet and you take a pitchfork and you kind of stir it up a little bit, you could have nice soil in a matter of months. Another technique that people do is they build some layers. They put some yard and garden scraps and a layer of junk, shredded newspaper, another layer of yard and garden scraps, another layer of shredded newspaper, and then they cover it with a layer of composted soil. They start growing in it right away, so they've got 6 or 8 inches of composted soil that they can grow in while that stuff down below is breaking down.
I mean, you're talking newspaper and you're talking junk mail. Is there anything I need to look out for, like extra glossy paper you don't put out there? Or will it all, is it all fine?
Well, it will all break down, but some things are better than others. On my farm, I do avoid the glossy paper. I avoid things that appear to have been laser printed, and that's usually a glossy finish because there may be some toxicity in that ink. But, you know, if you're going with a black and white newspaper, there's not really an issue there. You can do that. Or if you have junk mail that's just black and white or it's, you know, a matte finish, shred that up. Go ahead and put it in your garden.
So are you shredding your newspaper? Or once that gets wet, that breaks down pretty easily.
Like, right. I don't shred newspaper. I will kind of tear it up a little bit and put it in there. But I definitely don't spend the time to shred newspaper. But pieces of paper that are 8.5 by 11 that are easy to shred, shred those because then they will break down much more quickly for you.
And that's a great way for identity. I mean, even though it's shredded, a lot of times that's still those, they talk about the identity theft. And a lot of times they are just dumpster divers and they're people that have time to sit there and piece it all together. So it's, once you have it shredded and it's in your guard, you're going to notice someone digging through that.
Yeah, and once it gets wet and it starts composting, yeah, no, it's going to grow food and it's not going to be, your identity is not going to be stolen from that for sure.
Well, coming up, there's a fruit tree program, and we'll talk about that on the back side of the break, along with wrapping up the final talking points for edible landscaping, getting your own started here as we go into the best growing season for anyone under about the 3,500-foot elevation. It's Rosie on the House every Saturday morning.